I left off last time with these qualities to become a better employee. Now, the whole point of this is that God promises a reward to those who are faithful, to those who serve in their job capacity, knowing that they're not serving men. Who are they serving? They're serving God. Every job you have in life. Boy, this is something that Dr. Hobbs used to hammer into our minds. Eric and knows about this, and Roger and several of us that grew up in this ministry. Dr. Hobbs used to sit on us about this and, "You're not working for me, you're working for God. Everything you do, you're working for God. So if you're mopping a floor, you do it for God. If you're cleaning a toilet, you do it for God. If you're out here mowing the grass or you're out here trimming." We didn't have fancy weed eaters back then, so we had a shovel. That's what we used to shovel up all the edges and stuff like that. When you're shoveling, you're doing it for God. If I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times. Do you know what's missing in today's youth? That simple understanding. Because we think we're serving ourselves. And that's not the point. God says, "I will reward those that understand every job you do, no matter how unpleasant, no matter how difficult it might be, you do it for God and not as unto men, and He will bless you." And that takes a special type of understanding. We looked at these last time. Dedication, confidence, reliability, teamwork, independence, leadership, interpersonal and communication skills, honest self-awareness. All right? In other words, you're aware of the fact that you might be limited. Let your boss know, "Hey, I'm struggling with this. I can't figure this out," or whatever. It's an honest self-awareness. It's better to be honest about it than to tear everything up and then bring the pieces back. Say, "Here you go, boss. It's your fault." All right, well, why didn't you tell him that you couldn't do it? Why didn't you communicate? You see, that's honest self-awareness. If you know you're not able to do something, then speak up and say, I can't do this, I don't understand this," or what. It's all right. Some people think that they have to know everything. How many of you met people that knew everything and really didn't know a whole lot? Okay, they thought they knew everything, but they didn't. The easiest thing in the world is to think you can do everything. The best thing to do is say, "You know what, I'm struggling with this. I need some help." It's okay to ask. It's okay to ask. Because who are we serving? We're serving God. And so then finally, integrity. That's being what you advertise yourself to be. If you're not who you advertise yourself to be, you're a fraud. You're a fake. Let's just call it what it is. So it's better to be honest and to be the person that you are and not trying to mimic somebody else, not trying to be somebody else. We're going to talk about that in the morning worship service today, about stir up the gift that is within you. God did not say, "I want you to mimic somebody else." He says, "I want you to stir up the gift that's within you that God put there." And so we'll talk more about that. We're to develop these qualities in order to be a better employee. And so I ask this question: has the gospel penetrated your personal and spiritual life as it applies to the workplace? What do? We divide everything up into sacred and what? Secular. That's a problem. For the Christian, Dr. Bob Sr. Used to say this, for the Christian, everything is what? Sacred. And we are watching the church today divide and put sacred over here and secular over here. And so I do this at church and I do this the rest of the week. That's not biblical. That is unbiblical. That's what Satan wants you to do. That's a hypocrite. I've got my life over here and then I got my church life over here. No, you got one life in Christ. One life in Christ. And you're consistent so that the things that are in the secular world are governed by everything that's in the spiritual world. So you don't go down the wrong pathway and corrupt your life and corrupt your testimony because you were segregating things into the secular world over here. I talk dirty over here, but at church I don't talk that way. You're a liar. You're a liar. Christians don't talk dirty. I had this conversation a few weeks ago with an individual here in town. He said, you know what? He said, I've appreciated y'all's ministry up on the hill. I get that expression, up on the hill. Yeah, we got a real big hill here, but I guess we're up on it. And up on the hill, we appreciate that. He said, y'all have a strong testimony in this community. Do you know that? And I said, well, I pray that we do. I pray that we do. And he said, one thing that I've appreciated, and he started naming people in this church. He said, they are in the community what they're like at home. And they're like at home what they are at church. And I said, thank you for sharing that with me. That's what we're supposed to be. Not a fraud out in the world, living the life, doing what we want to do, and then we come to church on Sunday, we put on our little Christian outfit, and we just fit into the church, and then we go out and live like the devil during the week. You don't understand. You're telling everybody, I'm a fraud. I'm a fraud. And what's sad is that we're watching churches and colleges and schools segregating. Sacred over here, secular over here. All right, we can be like everybody else, but we can also be like what God wants. You can't separate in the Christian life. Everything is what? Sacred. Because we are in Jesus Christ. And Jesus doesn't have any part with this world. He went to the cross and died on Calvary's tree to deliver you from this world. To deliver you from Satan, to take you from his kingdom, the Bible says in the book of Colossians, from the kingdom of darkness, and deliver you to the kingdom of what? Light. He didn't say, I'm going to split your time between the two, did he? He didn't say, well, I'm going to keep you, let you be a part of that kingdom, and you can be a part of my kingdom too. That sounds just like the world, doesn't it? We'll let you have a little bit of both. But that's not the way it works. God said, I've taken you from the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness, and I brought you over here and I put you in the kingdom of light. And what are you supposed to do? You're to be light and salt in this world. So this is a very important one. Has the gospel penetrated your spiritual life as it applies to the workplace? When we do inferior, lackluster work for our employer, we are doing inferior, lackluster work for Jesus Christ. That's a simple principle, but it's a Bible one. And it's been lost on a whole generation today. Oh, I work out in the world. I don't have to do that. Oh, yes, you do, if a Christian. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, what's the rest of it? Do it with all thy might. Hey, whatever I do, I'm to do to the glory of God. We need to get back to that, amen? That's Bible. Let's move on. Withholding your best from your employer is an affront to God. Listen to these verses. I just quoted one. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Notice the rest of it. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom, where? In the grave. All right? In other words, you can't go back and fix it once you have finished with this life. Have you ever wanted to go back and change something you did in the past? I tell you, I wish I could go back and do some things differently. I wish I could have paid a little more attention in classes in school when I was goofing off. Can I go back and do that? No. And whenever we reach the grave, it's done. There's no going back and fixing it, changing the record. We have a responsibility to understand and know that the only time I've got is right now, and I need to do my best so I don't live with regrets. Secondly, Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Oh, why is the Bible always wounding my self-worth? All right, my self-esteem. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. I'm not going to any ant. That's beneath me. Well, the Bible says go to the ant. Learn something. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. In other words, she doesn't have anybody telling her what to do. She doesn't. She goes at it with all of her might. Gathereth her food for harvest. Then Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Let's go to number 9 here. Our time is almost gone for today. We'll finish up with number 9 and 10 next week, Lord willing. Number 9, faithfulness through trials. You know that God says there's a reward for faithfulness through trial? Notice this passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even what? The salvation or deliverance of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Now notice that. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of what? Everybody say that word. Grace. You know what grace is? Grace is a free gift. It's a free blessing that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The glory that should follow. Now this is the reward. Now think about this for just a moment. We live on this earth. We got a hurricane out in the Gulf. We got racket going on right now because we got some rain that's coming in. What is hurricanes a result of? It's a result of the curse. It's part of the cycles of nature. It's part of the curse. And it takes lives. We've got all kinds of things that are happening around the world. Floods, monsoons. There are several hurricanes that are going right now. There's a Hurricane Fred, I believe. There's one out on the Pacific side that's going. And we've got all kinds of things. Volcanoes erupting around the world. Now, what is that an indication of? It's an indication that the glory has departed this earth because of what? Sin. The curse of sin has marred and taken away the glory of God's creation. Even though the marvel is still there, the glory is not. But I want to tell you something. We're going to get to enjoy the glory of the future with Christ. And this earth is going to be remade into a beauty that's not cursed. It's not cursed. I follow a guy up in Alabama that is called a Southern Digger. And he goes out and he looks for Civil War artifacts, all right? I love history and I love watching these videos. And they were out near an area where Andrew Jackson was and near Burnt Corn, Alabama. Anybody know where Burnt Corn is? All right. You got to be a true Southerner to know where Burnt Corn is. That's north of Bruton. Matter of fact, the creek that flows through Bruton is named what? Burnt Corn Creek. All right. And there was a major Indian battle that took place up there. And they were out doing some research and in the battlefield, and guess what they found? Spent musket balls all in the soil where they had been firing up into a hillside. It was impacting into the hillside. And now 200 years past, early 1800s, they're finding some of those artifacts. And he pointed out one. He said, this impacted a person. I can tell. and went through their body and into the soil. So we've studied this over the years. We can see which ones hit bone by the unique shapes of that. It went through a person, hit something, and then came out and went into the soil. Some of those were just a few inches beneath the soil for 200 years. Some of them are deeper buried. The ones that went straight and didn't hit anything, went into the soil. Just an amazing thing looking at that. And he said, you know, when we're digging these things, we're finding stuff from 200 years ago, and this bullet may have taken the life of an individual who died right here at this spot. Now, he was talking about, he said, Alabama's not the same as it was back then. He said, we've gotten civilized. And I said, brother, are they civilized up in Burnt Corn, Alabama today? we've gotten civilized. You know, at our best, Christian, at our best, we don't have the glory yet. At our best, we don't have the glory. When you get to heaven, we're going to all have the glory. What does that mean? It means that we're going to look exactly like the Son, Jesus Christ. We will have a body like unto His glorious body. I want to tell you something. That's glory. That's glory. Nothing in this world is really glory. All the things you can purchase and buy, that's not glory. All the wealth that you can attain, that's not glory. Glory is being with Christ. And the Bible says that when you endure trial and difficulty and problems that are in this world, you know what? You're just adding to the glory of being in His presence someday. We're going to pick up with this, Lord willing, next time, next week, because I've got more to say about this aspect of glory. Isn't it interesting that the glory that's promised comes after what in this world? Trials, tribulation, difficulty, hardship, horrible things happening. But on the other side is one word. Glory. Glory. Can you wait? The older I get, the more I can't wait to that day. There's nothing really in this world that I want. All right? I don't need this. I don't need that. There are a lot of people striving to get all these wonderful things that we have in this world, but the only thing I want to do is I want to be with the Lord for all eternity. I want to be with Him. And that should be the inspiration, if you want to call it that, for enduring the trials and afflictions of this life, knowing that there's glory on the other side. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You for Your word. I thank You, first of all, for the testimony of the Hobbs in this ministry of establishing a local church, the burden that they had to honor Thee and to set up a church that would have a witness and a testimony that was unaffected by denominational ideas or cults or any other kind of influence, but simply based upon what the Bible said. I pray, Father, that You would help us to understand that and that we might live it today. It's wonderful to have a heritage, but if it doesn't have an impact in our lives today, it doesn't mean a whole lot. It's just history. So I pray that You would teach us to understand and know that our lives are to be lived according to the Word of God, not according to the influences and opinions of men and people and philosophies. Lord, I pray that You would help us to stand true to Thee and to be faithful to Thee and to get into the Bible so we know what it teaches, so we know how to live in this world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.